I do not want to comment.
Je me suis donné toutes les réponses dont j'avais besoin.
C'est la Fashion Week.
Ils se mettent sur le trottoir, les fashion.
What are those? Dior clothes.
It's fashion art. Fashion is hard work, gritty, it's not glamorous.
Okay, you know now, les dés sont jetés. It means like, what can happen, you know?
That's all.
Hello, I'm Reed.
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
I'm really good, actually.
Super happy to have you today.
Yeah, likewise. I think it's just, like I said, I still feel cold in this hot weather.
Really?
Paris. I'm freezing mentally. Maybe it's just, I think I was talking to myself this morning as well. I'm like, damn, I need to check my throat chakra if it's still active, you know, because I have to talk a
what
lot
do you
today.
Mean?
Yeah, because you know, you have like 7 different chakras, different points in your body, and they all kind of even physically occupy different space.
Okay.
So your throat chakra is also responsible of your communication skills.
Mm.
So yeah, I've tried my best to balance
all
them
good?
Before coming here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I hope so
yeah, you're gonna have to use it. I'm pretty sure. Okay. So the way we do this is we're gonna start with like where you grew up, and we're gonna just go from where you grew up to now. So. Tell
That's
us a little bit about yourself. Where were you born?
Your
well, I'm
story.
Born in Punjab, India. Proper Punjabi girl. Yeah,
yes.
On a small village, like in middle of nowhere. But it's so interesting where I grew up. It's just, so in India, you have like cities, villages, but then you have like deras. It's like a different thing where people live in their fields.
Mm-hmm.
So where I grew up, it's just me and my family. So my neighbors are my uncles.
Yes.
So okay. I see them every day. So it's just like 5 homes.
Yeah.
Just me with them. And you can just walk into their home every day, exchange whatever you don't want to eat in your home, and you can bring some food from their home. So it's such a different kind of world. And then I grew up with like so many animals.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Yeah, so I feel like part of my connection with nature and my own sensitiveness to sometime that I'm not a city girl, and I'm always seeking this thing about, oh, where can I go and escape? And in nature, it just all comes from where I grew up with my sisters, who are as crazy as I am. And yeah, but just a nice environment. But it's funny though, because every culture have different kind of world to that you get introduced when you're born, right? So for us, even in my home, like I said, my father, there are like 8 of them, and he's the last one in the family tree, the youngest one. So my father had 3 daughters. So it's like I have 2 sisters. And this notion about, okay, you have 3 daughters and you don't have any son. So when, let's say, when I was born, it's I've been told that my aunties were crying.
Oh, no.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, because you want a boy.
Yeah,
inside
yeah. Right?
Army.
That's so...
Are you the, what, last, first, second?
Yeah, I'm in the middle.
Okay.
So when I was born, and I have another sister, and then... but I had a very badass grandmother. She had like tattoos. She rode horses for traveling.
What?
Wow.
This woman would have like my father as kid on the horse, and she would go like meet her relatives and cross the river through the horse and everything.
Wow.
Had tattoos all over. Just something
badass.
Else. Yeah, very badass. So, but she's like, she was really close to my father, but she was our umbrella. She blanketed
protected.
Us. She protected us. And even though everybody saw that, oh my God, oh, poor are my parents. They don't have any sons. And all my uncles have, they all have at least 2 or 3 sons. I have so many male cousins. I just grew up around men, like so much masculine energy. And I feel like part of me, like sometimes people think I'm really dominant and intimidating, but it all comes to because I just grew up around so many men.
Guys,
but then even, let's say, my grandma, she was such a strong personality, and we have such a big influence from her as well. So, yeah, long story short, if I have to bring you all to today.
Tell us everything.
No, everything.
I'll take my time. So, yeah, so then...
So you went to school there? Like, how does it work there?
Yeah, we had school like 10 minutes away from my home.
Okay.
Went to cycling every day to school.
Mm-hmm.
All the kids from the village together. I've had a bunch of accidents. That was not my fault. Even on cycle, you can die out there. Because we have no...
I heard about the driving in India. Come on.
Yeah, right? We have no security. We have no road signs.
No,
I hope so nowadays, and especially when you're from a small village, you know.
Yeah.
It's not much of a priority. And also, back in the day, not a lot of people were driving cars. So we have a big biker culture. Like I used to, like I had a motorbike as well, which I almost killed someone with.
Oh my God. Okay.
Yeah. So went to the school. was always really creative into my own world of art. And my father was a musician, but he gave up that like earlier, pretty early. So, so there was kind of this influence from both my parents. My mom's really sweet, very the sweetest lady on this earth, has to be my mother. And, you know, grew up in a very spiritual environment as well. You know, I'm a Sikh. I'm one of the minority group in India. We have 1.4 billion people. And from that, 1 billion people are Hindus, and almost 300 million, it's all growing, are Muslims. And then we are barely maybe 30 plus million people. So it's a very small minority, but very
compared to
to everything else, to the grandiose scale of the country and the culture. But that's the beauty of it, you know. So much can coexist in that little bubble of you know, the even spiritually, because I feel like, and sometimes I say that spirituality is sort of a discovery of India in so many ways, because it's so much aligned with your everyday task. You know, you do so many things slowly. People wake up really early, like my parents in my home. They wake up with the sun, they go to sleep with the sun. So it's just so much aligned with the natural elements. Okay. It's really beautiful. That's why they live long. Like my grandma lived really, really long. So yeah, went to the school, was doing music back then. Yeah, I did classical Indian music for 8 years on the stage, sang mantra called Kirtan. On the stage, served in temple as well with my sisters, and you know, it was feels like a different lifetime,
I guess.
And so yeah, and then I was always into like fine arts. I always wanted to do fine arts, but there's not even a museum next to me. It's not, this is a privilege here. Paris to me was that's the Mars to Elon Musk, you know. That's what it was to me. And so yeah, I was always interested in art. Two of my cousins were doing art, but they never pursued it because there's no realistic opportunity that really, you know, come from it. And I think culturally, we are very much, I think when we think about even to go into a field of study that can benefit you financially as well.
Of course.
So it all comes down to science, medicine, law, you know,
tech, IT, we're
really big in that. So
just big on tech, like all the CEOs now, like in
they're
all Indians,
they're all Indians,
shout out to Arya Bhatt, who invented Xero, right?
So I
kind of had no choice to kind of really go to science school.
What was the closest city to your
house? Oh yeah, it's Kapurthala, it's the district. And but to go to university or slash college, because a lot of college or university are all in the same building. I had to travel 2 hours every day to go take two buses, almost three, to study science. I was doing non-medical as a field where you do mathematics, chemistry, and physics, and then you moving on, kind of choose your major of what fields of science you want to go into. Do you want to go into mathematics? You want to be, you know, in chemistry, physics?
So you're in science, and after you choose like the specification.
Then you have to do like dedicate 3 years of your life to one particular field of studies. So it's really intense. But I remember we were almost nearby our exams. It's like our exam starts tomorrow, and we were still not finished. We had these books with 500-600 pages, which we had to finish every few months, and then so on, like so many volumes, just so much. The study system in India is really, it's really strong, you know.
Very good.
Yeah, it's really good. I won't recommend.
But it's good.
Yeah, if you're not serious about, you know, dedicating. Yeah, if you're not serious about school, don't go there. Come to Europe. This is the place. That's why I'm here. So, so went to science school and
so what about fashion? Like back in the days, like did you have any like sense of fashion?
No. We did have FTV. The fashion TV, right? I watched it times to time. It's funny nowadays, it's the people I work with. And then I was like, oh, who are all these people? Like these designers. And but not even a thought, ever.
No. Also, so science.
Yeah, art. Art in back in the day, because, you know, from your own community, you feel you are indoctrinated in a way that, hey, you can't really make a living from art. Also, the main medium in art in India is a lot of, let's say, music and films.
And
films is big.
We make the most amount of movies in the world.
Yes.
Poetry as well. But I feel like, especially being a woman, to have those kind of dreams, it was, you're not taught to have those kind of dreams in those kind of places, because you don't have anybody to look up to. So even with music, I feel like me and my sister, we were one of the first ones to play in the temple. And nowadays there's a lot, you know, it paved a way, it broke the ceiling. But there's so many places that I feel like women just sort of, even internally, sometimes they're really fearful to walk into those spaces. So it's very subconscious kind of limitation
it's
as well.
Like not said, but it's here. Like the limitation for women, that's what you mean?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm saying, yeah, to the point that sometimes they themselves are afraid to try, you know, to open that, to kick that door, not even open, to kick that door. Because, yeah, there's so much pressure from society and then, you know, the whole idea about being a housewife and looking after the family, and you have a assigned role that you have to kind of go with, and that's just how you lead your life. Well, I would say my grandmother was really different. So we, so me being here, part of that is the blood, that the you know, the soul, the energy that she's given all of us, and me and my sisters as well. So yeah, so I went to the science school, but I don't know. I feel like in my third year, not even first, second, I spent so much time in like chemistry lab. I've seen people burning their coats with putting wrong solutions. We've done we've seen everything. And, but yeah, but I feel like I reached a point that even to ask myself, like, hey, what it is that you really want to do, you know? And I feel like when it comes to having a strong passion about something in your life, it's always gonna like come back and chase you, and one day it's gonna take over. So I was really happy in a way that I still had the ability to listen to that voice and then follow it. So yeah, so I'm like telling my parents, like, hey, I want to do art, I want to go to Paris. Nobody's taking me seriously. And so a lot of like young people, they migrate to, let's say, Canada. It's a very first destination for especially like a lot of Punjabi community, because you don't feel homesick. You don't feel, you know, because there's so many Punjabis there. Kind of like the third official language of Canada right now, it's Punjabi. So it's a big population. So you don't feel any cultural shocks and all of that.
Softer.
You know? Yeah, so it's that. But for me, I feel like French culture, I have so many French family members. I'm a quarter French from like my mother's side as well. So I've had French family member living in India, like going from here. A lot of my nephews, and they're like blonde kiddos going to Indian schools.
What?
Yeah, yeah, and learning like Punjabi, learning the native language. It was really fascinating view for me as well. It was very pumping. But for me, it was like, damn, this is the time that I should make the switch. I need to see what's on the other side of my life as well, you know. Because when you are in your teenage year, especially in India, that in a lot of, let's say, smaller communities as well, your life and the map of your life is designed by other people, especially as a woman. So you're expected to get married by 20, 22, have babies, moving on, moving on.
That's
and
the
then
road.
You spend 50, maybe 60 years on this planet and you die. And yeah, for me, I think from the jump, it was not the path. And
it was not the plan.
Yeah. Shout out to my parents. They knew and they pushed. They pushed to me and even my sister to be as unconventional as we could be. You know,
that's
I think
nice.
It's the beauty of having the kind of parents I have.
That's rare.
It's really rare.
In every culture, I mean, you know.
Yeah. In every culture, I would say it's really rare. You know, I have friends who come from different countries, even in like on the West, you know, there's so many friends and they want to do different things in life, but you have a pressure, you have something also, a bar is set and you have to live up to that. Otherwise it's very easy that you can be considered a failure and not given a second chance. And as a woman, that's, you know, the, your chances are even lower than I would say, you know, 1%. So, yeah, so Yeah, so even doing music and serving in the community, you know, me and my sister, we were always regarded high, respected, well, in the community as well. And, you know, my father, my parents, they do a lot of community service. So, you know, they are really, really well respected in our mm-hmm. small little world out there in Saifalabad. This is my little village. And so, yeah, so then I told my parents, no, I want to go to Paris. I have some cousins here. So it's like, hey, you know, if, because then like maybe I want to go to the hostel. Or maybe I will just live with the family. It's a lot of the time for the safety purpose. They're like, no, just go live with your cousin. And so I applied to the art school, got in. Paris College of Art. It's in the 10th. Used to be Parsons like before.
Okay.
But that too was really interesting because I was almost like I dropped out from my science stuff. Then I took some time. I did another diploma in economy and history just to finish my school and everything. And then...
In India.
Okay. And then you reach a point like, hey, you really have to realistically ask yourself, what kind of life are you going to choose now? You know, you're reaching your, you know, your teenage years and in your late teenage, and soon you'll cross the bridge to adulthood, the earlier 20s. And you might not be given so many choices also to be reckless. So if you want to be reckless, this is the time. Because this is when you can get away with a lot of mistakes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is when
you can start again.
Yeah, it's you can still start. And I feel like you can always really start at any age, but it all comes down to that you're still cocooned by your parents, your loved ones. So you feel like if you mess up, you still have...
Can always go back.
You can always go back. And they're still waiting, and they will just embrace you as who you are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they can guide you into something else and help you also find what you want to do as well. So yeah, long story short, all my peers were going to Canada and I'm like, no, I'm going to Paris.
Okay.
I'm going to live the dream that
I'm going to live the dream. So not even, yeah. So it was more the artistic dreams. You know, I spent like so many years, like Hokusai is one of my inspiration. So I spent so much time. So I studied art on my own because back in India, we didn't have any, like, we have no art schools, not that I'm aware of, like nearby, closer to me. So I would just study a lot from YouTube, and I was so keen in my practice. And then the Indian side comes in that you can just sit down and do something for many hours and all the meditative, you know, abilities. So yeah, and I found so much peace and grounding, like, in doing art. I feel like... I was kind of awkward growing up. Yeah, I had a different relationship with my siblings or society in a way that I was not very, I was really introvert, and I would just spend time at home. My cats were my best friends. The trees were my best friends. And I would just spend time, people might think I'm crazy, but yeah, just talking to all of these entities, these energies, these bodies, and spent a lot of time with my parents as well. While my sisters, my siblings, they were really outgoing. They had a lot of friends. So I was really the oddball of the home in so many ways.
Cats.
Yeah, right. And then I was the only one who had her own room. So they were staying together because, you know, my sister's really close to each other. And for me, I was just in my zone and then just reading books and, you know, watching all of these documentaries about different artists and, you know, Michelangelo, Picasso, you have Frida Kahlo, you have all of these inspirations. And for me, it was more like, damn, what is this world? And the thing is, everything when it comes to any artistic destination, it all comes down to Paris for everybody.
Yeah.
And for me, it was a privilege in a way that, you know, having some French blood and having some family members all around me, that I already felt that sense of comfort, that I was very incisive in the way that, hey, I'm confident, you know, I want to go.
Mm-hmm. It's not completely unknown.
Yeah, it's not that, it's not going to Mars yet. So, like, you know, so I told my parents and I said, hey, I want to go. When I study art, apply to the art school, I remember... first of all, nobody took me seriously because nobody cares about art in general. So everyone was really trying their best to talk me into to go to Canada. Even you'll go to just temple and you have a neighbors meeting and they're like, oh, so where's your daughter going? Because mine went to Canada. Mm. And when you say France and they have, they're like, oh, what do you mean France? In Europe? Like, so I didn't let anybody peer pressure me to the point that I was really strongly committed to my, internal idea of that, hey, this is where I want to relocate next for the next phase of my life and kind of reclaim my independence as well. You know, when you grow up in an environment and you're surrounded by your family members, you're surrounded by your cultural values and these things every day. So that's all you know about life. But then when you are, as a teenager, you expose yourself to these external influences. In this case, all these artists and me reading all of these books. So I really had this deep desire to also just kind of know myself more as a person and not just accept, myself from how I'm seen in my society and even just as a woman on this planet, right? You have to, there comes a point that you have to kind of get up and you also have to be able to confront yourself because I feel like that's the best way to know yourself. So for me, it was like, okay, ask myself what you want to do and just be really, really, really strongly believing in that. So told my parents that I'm going to apply to the art school. And that too, I was on the last day of the deadline. I found this cool, like on Instagram hashtags and stuff. And then I remembered and it said, oh, well, you only have like 1 week, then you have to apply everything. And then I remember I locked myself in the room for 1 month. I was really intense about the whole process because I had to finish like, I think 13 to 16 artworks, some sculptures. I had some work done before. So
you were painting at the time already?
I was, painting, sculpting, drawing a lot. My first medium was sketching because it just takes too long. Mm. I feel like I almost went blind doing that.
Just by focusing on
the lesson. Yeah, so much concentration visually. I was never wearing glasses or contact lenses before. And then I started doing all of that. And it just takes so much of your visual energy as well and physically. But when you get lost in the dance of everything, you forget about time. You forget about all these other things. And you are, for me, I always felt it was something very visceral and spiritual for me. Mm-hmm. This whole process of creating, and it's very non-judgmental. You don't have any commentary coming from left and right, especially because I was self-taught. So I just had so much time to have fun, figure out different techniques, do different things, and see what I can do. And I finished all my artworks on time. Wrote a whole inspirational essay about why am I doing this. So I got a call back and did an interview with a teacher from the school, got in, took me 6 months to do my student visa. Shout out to my father. We would take buses because India gets hotter than this.
Yeah, of course.
And we would take bus to like these different cities to get all my paperwork done. Aww. And it was such a process. He was such a warrior to really back me up and my will and follow sort of, because I was leading the way, it was my dream. Mm-hmm. And to have that strong support from your parents that they're willing. Also, they're willing to at least support, even if they don't understand. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's
huge.
Yeah. So for me, I just find it so beautiful. Like me coming here, the way they've planted different seeds in my journey. I always say I owe it all back to them, because even they gave so much freedom to express. Myself, to let's say my sisters, because that's not the case for everybody. Like I have cousins, they all have different upbringings. So yeah, my parents really were the cornerstone, that set this big building that I'm on the chimney right now. And I applied to the art school, got in, packed my bag and came to Paris.
Wow.
How was the money situation, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh my goodness, money situation is real. So you know, in Punjab, majority of the people are farmers.
Yeah.
So we own lands, we do farming. It's seasonal crop wise. Mm-hmm. You grow grains, mainly wheat and rice, sometimes mixed with corn, sugarcane, and you have, like, once you harvest, you make money every 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not salary based. But then we have dairy farm as well. So we have like our own cute little cows. And so my parents really struggled so much financially, but they never let us feel that it's a struggle. They never let us be affected by that, right? Yeah. That's the parents' magic.
Really?
So
no, the only reason I'm asking is because it's a trip. It's still like a journey. Like, you're moving out of home. You're coming to Europe. You have to settle here. You're alone. So it has to be.
And then 1 euro is equals to almost 88 rupees. And then you convert from the other side. It's a lot of money.
Yes.
So even for me to come to this art school, we had to sell family land. We had to like borrow money here and there.
So it's a real investment.
Shout out to my temple for supporting my crazy dream. So they supported as well. And then I came here, but I was staying with my cousin. So my cousin, he plays a very big part in my story. And so he was the one who was supposed to look after me. And so, I stayed with him in the beginning because modeling was not in the scene. Not at all. I did not come here to be a model.
Mm-hmm.
What art is that? When I was young, I remember maybe 17, and I was teaching a lot of underprivileged kids all around, because art was still like my passion, but I feel like I needed to plant these seeds in other people, in other kids as well, so they can also see in future that it's realistic, that it's not just this unreachable hobby thing that nobody believes in. So I had these, I was working with like maybe almost 10 kids coming to my home every day. I was tutoring, I was teaching, helping them with their exams. And we had this fun activity, like in the end, I would make them water all our plants. So you learn then that nature connection as well that I felt. I feel like there's so much joy in giving and sharing things that you find so much joy in as well, especially introducing those concepts to kids as well. So it was really, beautiful time as well. And then there was a contest with, I believe, Love Magazine back in the day.
Oh,
and
So
they were scouting different people. They were getting winners all around the world.
I remember.
And I think the cover was supposed to be shot by Kendall Jenner.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. I was a baby back then. And so me and my sister were, like, she was on social media, like on Instagram, we were talking about it, and she told me, hey, there's this thing happening, and they're taking people from all around the world. And so for me, we're just having fun. So let's just post a photo of me and just, tell my story, where I'm from, what I'm doing in my life, and at this current stage of, where I'm at, just where I'm at in my life. And so I remember posting, and then I heard pretty quickly back, and then they were interested in like having me as one of the winner, because it's 20 people, I believe. Mm-hmm. And but from India, you can't just get on the plane and go to America. We need visas.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a long time, so I couldn't do that. But from that, I remember agencies, they found me and they wrote me and they said, hey,
the agency were searching
the
through
hashtags,
the hashtags too. Yeah, of course.
They were looking for people. And so I fell into their hunt, and I got all these different messages from different people. But these were the years when I was, a science nerd. I didn't really think any future or any life, supposedly something realistic in entertainment for myself, especially. Because you feel when you live in, let's say, a country like India, most of the time you know that you're going to die here. So, you just feel like this is my world. This is what it is. So, and even Francesca. So Franchi tells me a different story, but
I love Francesca.
Yeah, so
love
she,
you.
You know, my now my manager, and so she found me in all of this mix as well. So she wrote me as well, And I remember deleting that page, but still keeping in touch with Francesca. And I was in touch with a few agencies, and they asked me to send photos and headshots. We don't know none of that. Me and my sister were like, what in the rocket science is this? And crops, this, walk videos, black on black. No, we don't wear heels. When you know, it's just... So we were flip-flops. We just run around in them. That's our shoes for parties, weddings, go to temple. Anything. That's it. Everything. It's a very, uber, part of our culture. So, so Francesca. But then I started a poetry page. So because with art and, I already had ambitions to go into art school, in the next few months. So I was writing a lot.
So this is what you're in the process of getting your visa, right?
This is before that. Yeah, this is before I even applied. So I had some gap years after finishing my school to kind of understand what fields of study if I want to go into, if everybody's going to Canada, and if I want to ride the same wave. But I took my time.
Okay.
I'm really a slow bird.
So you were still in India?
I was still in India. Okay, all of this happened when I'm in India.
Okay.
So, Francesca was one of the person who was following me on my poetry page, and it was getting a lot of we used to have a good algorithm on
back in the days.
The good old days of social media, right? We had a whole community. Like a lot of my now, even after these years, my closest best friends, they come from that space.
Yeah.
And these are the people I interact with still. And so Francesca saw a photo of my eyes only. She tells me that she never saw my face. Mm-hmm. But she was so, I don't know, she had some instincts about something.
She got instincts. Yeah. That's for sure.
And she had some vision about me as well that I never believed
in. All of her
in.
Talents. She has a vision for all of her talents.
Yeah. And I never really put so much focus on the beauty aspect because I'm really skinny, a tiny person. And India also have a lot of different beauty standards. And I grew up I was really tomboy because of all those cousins. I have so many male cousins, and I was really influenced by that whole environment. And so I never really thought about any of this. So not even a thought. Mm-hmm. So when Francesca gets to me, I was like, nah, first of all, this is a scammer. So I don't trust her. Because how do you even explain that to your parents or your family members or your loved one? Oh, somebody from social media reached out to me and she said
they want
that
me to be a model.
you want to be a model in Europe? Like, no, nobody believes that. People have never heard of that. So it was really, so I was part of that mix. So I didn't believe anything she was saying. I was not buying it. So I took my visa. We were still in touch. We did some phone calls, but we never did video chats or anything. And because I was really not interested, my main motive and my mission to come here was to be an artist and, just create. And it was such a privilege for me to be able to pave that, pathway for myself, having my supportive parents. And I feel like energies, everything aligned for me in a very sort of, it was sort of serendipity in so many ways, my whole journey, especially when it starts from Paris. So I came here living with my cousins and would go to my art school, and Francesca came to see me.
In Paris?
Yeah, flew from Milan by herself. See, she is really passionate, this woman.
Yes.
She is really passionate. Like, I admire.
She never gives up.
She never. And it's just such a strong personality. She's like, she's kind of like my second mother. I feel like I talk to her more than I talk to my mom. I love my mom, but with her, I just love to listen to her. She's my bedtime stories. She's my favorite song. She's everything. But then even Francesca is a big influence in me growing up. And because she's watched me being a teenager, to growing up and then ending up here in my early 20s. And then going to art school And then she came to my art school and then she saw me and she screamed. And I was so insecure. I'm like, shit, this woman is coming to see me. Can I cancel? Can I say that? I
don't know. She knew that if she had flew you, you would have canceled.
I think
that she knows that. So that way she came to Paris. So you were trapped. No way to escape the meeting.
She's coming to my art school, right?
Okay.
Where did you even escape? All you know is your art school. So she came with flowers in her hands. And I remember my art school teacher, she was there and Francesca was really giving her passionate speech. She'd be like, oh, look at her. And my teacher was so protective of me. She's like, no, it's my student. Don't take her. And so then we went out, she took me out to like eat something. We had a conversation. I think the next day she ran in out of studio to take my first digital. I had no idea what digitals are. And she's like, just bring something from your home. And I had all these funky, I was in my gypsy hippie era. And I had all these funky outfits, like pink tops, green bandanas. And then it's like fashion is really like black on black.
Yes.
You know, you have to put on a tank top and very conventional. Nowadays it's changing, which I really love. We're finally able to see our real true colors, our personalities, and just how we kind of express ourselves in our style as well. So then we kind of mixed something. She took me to Galerie Lafayette. She bought me like the Saint Laurent shoes that I was dreaded and crying because I'm like, no, this is the most painful thing because I'm a flip flop girl from India.
Yeah. I was not to Saint Laurent. Yeah, yes, that's a long ride,
right? And I had never even worn sneakers before. So I was like, no, just what is this? Like, can we just do it bare feet? No. It's like, no, you're already tiny. Mm. And it's odd, this whole concept about being tiny as well, because in India, I would be considered tall.
Yeah, of course.
So, I'm almost making 5'7". And then in India, that's considered above average because women have different... A lot of men would be my height. Like a lot of my cousins are as tall as me. So I'm the tallest in the whole family. And then you ended up here and you hear different things. Mm-hmm. So you're like, what is this? Like, who am I? What's happening? And so, she did the digitals and I went back to the cousin's home. But me and my cousin, we had differences in opinions. He's been living here since a long time. I think he's lived here more than he's lived in India. But he's got his own issues and we had our own conflict. So I got kicked out with no money, with nothing in Bondi, above every place.
Okay.
Bondi 93.
Yeah, right? All those funny areas, the Pontin, all of that good stuff, a lot of good food. And I kind of had no choice to... Either you sleep at the metro station, I feel like there were so many angels walking around me because I had this choice that you've done this struggle to come to this country. And in a few weeks, your cousin is kind of abandoning you or your idea of living that you're not seeing eye to eye. And if this is me fighting for my freedom again. So, hey, like, do you now go back to India? Because, I spoke to my family, like, in between all of them. They're like, no, just come back. I'm like, no, I'm not coming back. I did not get here to come back. So, I was in a very sort of odd position internally, I would say, because where something like that would make a lot of people panic.
Yeah, would bring them.
I was really laughing at my situation. I'm like, shit, okay, this is what it is. So, because I always had this very strong intuition about Paris. I don't know what it was. I always felt like that, either I'm going to meet someone or either I'm going to end up somewhere. But I feel like that city really is going to play a big part in my story. I remember I used to write letters to Paris. I was so romantic about this whole thing. And
but then you end up in Bondi and then you're like, what the heck?
Like, what is this? What happened to the romance?
Yes, that's the most romantic place in
France. So what happened? What did you do after that? So you were really
I was really with my bags and everything, all my belongings. I came to this place belonging. It's hard to even say that belongings, because even financial reasons, I came to Paris with five bills of 20 euros, 100 euros only in my pocket, and that's it. No bank balance, no nothing, nothing to back me up. And I was really grateful for that, for my parents to, you know, set me off with something like that. Felt like a blessing. And then, you know, you kind of see that once you get out of the four walls of your home, sort of your safe space as well, a whole different world opens up. Mm-hmm. And it makes you question yourself. It makes you question also the reach of your dreams, your goals, and even that intuition. But like, oh, you thought something really good is going to happen in Paris, and now you're here without home, no jobs. What are you going to do? Somebody, shout out to whoever it was, gave me two metro tickets. So I found my way from Bondi, came to my school, started couch surfing with my school friends for like a couple of days. And Francesca went back like a few days before. So she was still checking with me, like, what's up, what's happening? And I'm like, shit hit the fan, like, I don't know what to do, because I was still really hesitant in that whole sort of funky environment of doing digitals. I was still really not, I was still very unsure. Mm-hmm.
That it could be a thing, a real thing.
Yeah, it could be a real thing, because I never really followed fashion like that. So so many things I had no freaking clue. Mm. So couch surfing and... Yeah, I remember the first day I went to the school and the teacher is saying, oh, you have to go buy all of these art supplies for tomorrow's class, and I have no money. And I'm like, shit, what am I going to do? I'm, you know, being Indian, you feel a type of way asking people, like, you know, you came to a new country, you don't want to be perceived as a needy or anything as well. So I was really protective of that, about myself and my values as well. So, when I opened my bags when I was couch surfing in the first apartment of my friend, I found like a bill of 20 euros. So I was like, God's with me. This is cool. Went to get my art supplies. And then I wanted to eat something. So I got all these fruit yogurts and stuff, all of this funky good stuff that we never had before in India. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was short of maybe 2 or 3 euros. And I was so lucky to the point that a random person paid for everything. I didn't even need to use that 20. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't know. It's just so many good things. These affirming things aligned. I feel like these were bricks to, you know, my pathway that, hey, you should stay. Just stay here and see what happens.
Signs.
You know? So I had all these symbols that I really trusted. Then, you know, Francesca knows about what's happening. She calls me an Uber. I go to Silent Paris, the best agency in Paris, the most incredible people in the world. And they saw this teeny tiny girl walking in a freaking, I think I had like a velvet pink shirt, if I remember, and a bandana. Like, what was I thinking? But I had my sense of style. I always do, but I shapeshift. I'm a chameleon. So they saw me, even though I was not tall. And, you know, coming from a whole different culture, back in the day, I didn't even know that, hey, as a colored person, this journey is even tougher, right? It's even harder. So I was still in my ignorance is bliss zone, and I had no clue what's happening, but I kind of went with the flow. And I feel like when all of that happened with the family getting kicked out, all of that, and I felt like, okay, this is the time I have to take this opportunity, because this has been chasing me for a few years now. You know, Francesca has been in touch with me, and she always made clear that I will be here whenever you feel ready. So I felt like, okay,
now
let's just go. What am I losing? Nothing. 20 bucks? That's all I have. So something really aligned in the star, right place, right time. Fashion was finally, now that I know, was opening up to a lot of people of color as well. It was right after we had movements. This is 2020, like late 2019. Mm-hmm. But I started working in 2020 pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did a casting, couple of them, few of them, in between going to my art school, like doing my classes.
I remember the first time you came at my casting, you had your like little things with all your drawings and things.
Yeah, my sketchbook, right?
I even have like one drawing that you left.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
you better keep that. That's for the museums.
That's why I kept it.
You're like, this word, billions, like the billion club,
like
right?
Billion.
Maybe trillions club. So, yeah. And, you know, in the beginning, it was a funny situation because you have school that you have to commit to as well. They really don't care about fashion or anything. So I have the school and I'm telling them, hey, I'm going to go to casting. Come back in 10 minutes.
10 minutes, that's ambitious, right?
No, but that's me having no clue what I'm walking into. That explains my innocence, where I actually come from, thinking, oh, in 10 minutes, it's just nearby, in and out. I'll come back, just, you know.
Wait for me, hold my stuff.
Yeah, just hold my stuff, I'll come back to school. And then you wake up, like, then you come back to... you know, darkness and night and your school's being shut. Like, what? Yeah. Like you realize, like, what happened here? How did it take so long? So went to my first casting. I had one pair of shoe which was broken. I was walking in these heels all around Paris. And I remember that's all. Forget about those Saint Laurent. I was not going to wear those. And so went to a casting and, one big casting director. And so he saw me. He asked me to walk. I did my little funky thing in my broken shoes. It really humbles me now to think about it. And in the next day I had the option for my first job. And in the next few days, got confirmed, flew to London for my first job, was for Vogue France. And that's how we start.
That's a good start. Mm-hmm.
Crazy, right? Like, here I'm struggling, jiggling, have no clue what's going on.
Yeah.
Here I'm doing Vogue France all of a sudden.
Who was shooting this story? David Sims?
No, this was Alastair McLellan. I remember that was my first time I'm being shot outside of Francesca's.
Wow.
So you're starting with like AAA.
Yes. Like with all of these big models, it was a story about future of fashion. I had my name in the magazine.
Wow.
And I remember going in, and it's the first time I'm finding all of these new things that people are actually like doing your nails. And then I remember the lady, she took out, like, she's like, she asked me to take out my socks and she's like, oh, I want to do your nails and your feet. And I'm like apologizing. Why are you touching my feet? Like, you're older than me. Cause for my cultural reason, only younger people can touch elders' feet. And it was all so new to me. It's the first time I ever put on makeup ever.
Wow.
It was a new thing for so many things. And,
how did you feel? Were you like intimidated or were you kind of excited though?
I don't know. I feel like part of the reason that I've been able to embrace this journey is that I never felt intimidated by this, because a lot of the time you have fears out of expectations, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have fears out of doubts.
Yes.
When you don't even know anything, what expectations, what doubts? It was really blank in my head. So I just went with the flow. I went there, you know, to see what's happening, just learned whatever I could learn from the moment, and had no clue that there's this hierarchy of even big models, new models, new faces. Like, I was a new face. I had no clue like what all of this is. And but it was a really beautiful story. It was my first job, came out in, I believe, 2020, in pandemic, when the world was shutting down and I was starting. Yeah.
That's the black and white pictures, no? Or it's other ones?
It's the one I have denim. I think Alberto Ferretti. Look on me, and just me being like a biker, you know, Oklahoma. So it was really nice. But it's such an odd thing to see yourself in magazines. I feel like once that experience passed by, the intimidation part came later for me, because I always had this hard time, because having even the poetry page, doing art, I always felt seen through my work. And I felt like that was something I was really internally comfortable with, you know, And so now you have to see your face in magazines. Excellent. And you have to post it. You have to show it to the world. And then it was really, I was like, damn, so this is what I'm going to be doing now. Like, the cat's out of the box. So this is my life now. But something that was really healthy, that I didn't let that take over me in any negative light, that I started embracing all of this. Because even in my school, in my art school, I was just exploring performance art. So, and I've spent many years on stage doing the, you know, kirtan, the mm-hmm. classical musics, and singing the hymns. And so I started embracing this part also, the part of that performance art, you know, just to see, just to feel, just to know yourself and allow yourself to know a different side of yourself. Like, don't get in the way, you know, don't resist. So I feel like for me, I had to approach it from a spiritual point of view for my own sake. Because it's a very big world that, you know, that kind of opens up for you overnight. Mm-hmm. Like, I started with a job that a lot of people still dream about. They haven't done it. They've been here for years and years, and they'll
probably never do it.
You know, so it's really hard.
It's a huge opportunity.
You know, I'm really grateful it happened in the way it happened. And that being my introduction to this fashion industry. And I approached it in a very, that whole thing about, like, you know, I had to confront myself, I had to talk to myself, and I had to really check myself in so many different ways that, okay, this is how it is, and just go about it slowly, peacefully, observe, learn, embrace, and if there will always be things that are going to disturb you from now on. So now also know that you have to be ready for that too. This is not a cocoon. This is not your parents' home. Mm-hmm. This is not the community backing you up. You're not shielded and guided here, but out of your own.
This is a dangerous place, though. You know, it's like lots of things can happen that can hurt you, like in psychologically or stuff like that. We've seen it with lots of girls, you know, and boys too.
Yes, and
there's no cocoon, like you were saying, you know.
Yeah, and you can't really prevaricate yourself from the reality of. Yeah. What it
Definitely.
Is, you can't close your eyes to that and think you'll reach nirvana. Like, no, it's not gonna happen. So yeah, it demands so much awareness of yourself. But I was at a really beautiful a second phase of my life, you know. Even spiritually, we say that this is even chemical biology, that, you know, your cells regenerate every 7 years. So this was my phase of, like, being in, you know, 21 and going through a different and new journey and just embracing it and see what's ahead of me. But just be ready in my brain. I feel like a lot of the time, because nowadays I've been around now for 3 years, and I do not do, like, fashion castings anymore for fashion weeks, to, like, direct bookings if it is, and being on the shorter side. And I want to make this point clear, that's one side of the diversity board that's not really hitting. Like, where's the jobs for people who are small, you know? But nowadays I feel like there's, I was in New York, I believe last September, and I met someone who just started. Like, it was a new face, this girl, we were in the same hotel. And I could sense the anxiety in her.
Of course.
And her skin was breaking out, and she was like, what do I do? Like, I don't know. I feel like my belly is bloated, and, like, what should I do? You know, everybody's going to see me and they're going to form their opinions. No, you can't start from that point. Because if you start from really fragile foundation, it's never going to make something strong out of it. Because then you, it reflects in your future as well. Because there's so many people who go into all of this, I'm going to self-compromise myself in many ways, my diet, my this, my that, my values, and it's just a compromise, whatever gets me jobs. And then you reach a point that modeling sometimes comes with a timeline. You know, if you don't rediscover yourself, if you don't rediscover your talents, there comes a point that you feel like, shit, my well is empty now. What do I do? And that's when the negative...
That's a situation for a lot of people in the industry.
A lot of girls, I would say, who start at an early age.
Of course.
They feel sort of a midlife crisis at 19.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And in the beginning, because I lived in Marlo's apartment for a year with, and they're silent, you know, met incredible people. And but even, you know, through them meeting other models, and I was still really introverted. Even pandemic, I spent time inside going crazy in every direction, doing a lot of art, and found my interest also in performance again. And so, but even from that, I would meet girls who started at early age. Maybe back in the day, I think a lot of people could start at 14. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nowadays, I believe, like, because of the law, you know, runways now, not less than 18. So, which was really healthy, because sometimes that's the thing, you know, you are in your freaking sweet 16 and you think the world is your playground and you think that you're playing, but later, at a later stage, you realize that you're actually fighting and it's not fun anymore. And so, yeah, and I feel like I've come across a lot of individual, and for some of them, I think for me, the conversations have always been moving around this sort of vicious cycle of like, what should I do now? What should I do? What I'm gonna do?
Mm-hmm. Always questioning,
right? Like, I've done this. Maybe it's gone. My career is over. And you think your life is over and you're only 19.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's so bizarre. For me, coming from where I come from, at 19, 20, we were still having fun climbing trees, talking to cats, talking to trees, and still having no clue of,
what's life about.
And but you still have a fresh, you know, mind state about that. You're not like mindless. You're mindful about the possibilities of what life can bring you to the table. And I feel like in modeling, a lot of the time, girls try to shrink their world to this small space. Mm-hmm. While for someone like me, I've learned to use it as a spectrum of what other possibilities are in my life. What else that I've learned from this is what I want to do. You know, that's where now acting comes into my life, that I would say that I found that passion through modeling, because I saw, okay, I'm doing this, I'm having fun, but what's the next stage? What's the sort of the product of all of this process that I've been part of all of these years now? Mm-hmm. So I think for girls as well, I remember one of my friends, and for her, we had this conversation and she started doing embroidery. And I'm like, yeah, even that, you know? So if you feel that your energy has been sucked out, your soul's been sucked out of you, and you don't feel that there's possibilities of something new, you're fooling yourself, because there is. And you have to hunt it down by yourself. Nobody's going to guide you on that journey, because that's, I think in modeling, a lot of the time, young people, when they are in this sort of back and forth, you find it hard to trust people. You find it hard to trust your agencies. You find you're like, no, you're lying to me. I don't know. Maybe you only want me to make money and, you know, all of that. And this sense of unhappiness and not being satisfied as a human being, it's something deeper, and it's something that you have to dig on your own. And, you know, people in life can always guide, you know, to you, to a journey, but they can't walk it for you. So, yeah.
100%.
Imagine. Drink water. All right.
So what's your timeline, really? Because you're talking age and everything. How old were you when you got here?
In my early 20s. Yeah, 21 here. Started modeling kind of full time, 22. Mm-hmm. 25 getting this year. So yeah. Everything happened pretty quick. But that too is funny, yes. Because when I started, I had no clue that that's considered old to start modeling. right? Because oh my god, that's like retirement age. What are you doing? But nowadays, to my surprise, a lot of my friends, they like now they start at like 26, 20. Mm. And yeah. it can be healthy. I think it all comes down to individual passion, right? There's girls who are in their teenage years and they want to do this. But just come prepared, you know? When you feel like, oh, I have to give in, I have to give my energy, but you have to be a little bit calculative about that. Because mm-hmm. you also have to go back into your space and not feel empty. You have to go back to your space and find other elements in your life that fulfill, that can balance you and your mental health, your well-being, and also be curious, you know, have curiosity about life. You can't limit to a profession. And this is a stage I'm at. I am modeling as to me being my primarily, you know, profession. I've never worked a job before. Mm. I've done some illustrations for books and magazines back in India, but I've never did like a full-time job. So this was my first time doing something and working and actively living at airports and having, I don't know, my home is full of luggages. That's all I have. I had to have a cleaning lady the other day and she's like, what is this? I'm like, I have six luggage. This one is for Europe. This one's for America. This one's for India. Like, I'm ready. This is my go mode.
Okay, you can go. Yeah. The luggage ready.
Right? This is my luggage. And she's like, what I have to do? I'm like, just close these because my clothing, everything is ready. It's just, you know, nowadays you learn about jobs maybe a day before, a few hours before. So you just have to be, so you have to be ready and but it's funny because that's like, that becomes so normal for your lifestyle and it can be so abnormal for somebody else. Because they're like, what is all of this? Like, did you never settle down properly here? I'm like, no, this is me going on the mission. This is me actually, this is part of my job. And this is part of my preparation and just, you know, not get into this panic mode or having any anxiety or like, oh, this, that, all of that. So physical actions also reflect, you know, into your mental stability in so many ways. And that's it.
So you were saying you have a suitcase ready for India. Did you go? I'm guessing you went back.
Yeah, I was there a few months ago. Oh my God, that was something. During pandemic, I couldn't see my parents for so long.
Yeah,
which was really, you know, I had never gone. It's never been that long that I haven't seen them. So it was really nice going back, and a lot of things happened in my life. You know, here's I'm modeling and being also the first Sikh Punjabi person to do so many things that I've done. And coming from India, you know, I'm not a city girl. I come from middle of nowhere. It's impossible
to even imagine.
It's impossible. And then you go back and it was really nice. I had a really warm welcome, but I found myself because, you know, I left it in like early 20, almost 20 coming, you know, and then going back around like 22 at the age of that. And then you feel like, damn, now I'm like a business woman. I'm a working woman. I did this.
Full adult.
And then you also feel a sense of agency and authority within yourself and the way you conduct yourself in your community as well. You're not that kid who had no clue what she's doing anymore.
Exactly.
You're not the one who needed, you know, the shield and needed to be guarded. And so now you've really learned a way of living as well, which I would say has also empowered my sense of self in so many ways. Mm. And yeah, my parents were really happy to see that. I feel like they had always expected the best more than I did. If I tell them, oh, this option's not working, they must be praying and saying, oh no, you're gonna get it, right? They are really positive souls and like monks. They're really empowering. And so it was really nice, you know, going back. And then but now when you go back from you know, leaving India with €100 but going back with, you know, all this financial gains that you've earned from your hard work as well, I think for me it was also very eye-opening to the point that when we were kids, me and my sister, we had this sense of charity, like whatever money we would have, or like we were singing at temple, like sometime you get some money, and then we were always like helping other people. And I remember sometime we would have aunties shushing us, be like, no, but that's not your money. Or let's say that's your parents' money. Why are you giving it to other people? Mm-hmm. And it's like, do it the day you have it. And so now going back and think, like, I feel like I felt so much joy and peace in my first few days when I went for the first time after like starting doing fashion for a year, that damn, so we can make things happen here now, right? My role here is not limited to sort of the girl child who's in her 20s and she's gonna marry, have kids and be a housewife, and you know, it's a very assigned social sort of role, yeah. You know, and so for me it was like, damn, so this is showtime, let's see what's happening in the community. I mean, we've always been involved with my parents, and you know, we so also being Punjab, being like the more, it's a space where agriculture is flourishing, and then we have climate change now, we have global warming, and we also have unethical ways of farming, we have big problems with you know, deforestation. Mm-hmm. So for me, just going and meeting community members and all of these elders, so it's really beautiful now to like learn and now to work with them. So now, like since last year and a half, I started a foundation called Dharat, which means earth in Gurumukhi foundation. So we're working a lot with like, how can I serve the community with all the things we're doing? So we've done like by now with my father, because he stays there. So we make programs, the Gurdwara, the temple helps us to organize everything. And there's all of these volunteers and community coming together to how to be better ourselves. Because I am really internally, deeply still living in the place that I lived as a kid. And it pains me to see like, mm-hmm. not those trees around, and, you know, just a lot of things has changed. You know, this is the age of industrialism, things are changing, the villages are becoming cities, things are changing in very drastic way. So it was just more about that, you know, how can I help, and how can I sort of understand what's my role here in the community as well. And with fashion, not only you have the financial gain, you also have a platform.
Yes.
You know, you can be the voice for people. And so it's really interesting. But another funny thing is that, because when I then went to India for the second time is when we shot my Vogue cover at my home.
Yeah.
And this is the funniest experience ever, because I still think about it. First of all, you can't find my home on Google Map. You know, I live in the middle of nowhere. So I remember we were supposed to shoot this story here in Paris. There was a lot of talk. I had done my first Vogue India cover here, but this time for me it was also this idea of using this opportunity that, hey, I'm gonna bring you to my home,
yeah,
you know, my culture. I want the world to see my world. And so, yeah, I remember when the production came and they were like texting me, and they're like, damn, we don't know, like, where's your home, we can't find it. And we don't have house numbers in our village.
Yeah.
It's something else. It's so funny. But you can find people by names. Mm-hmm. But there's so many people with the same name. Yeah. So how and then you have to say, oh, maybe next to this tree. Oh, do you see a green home? Six homes after that are like, you know, so it's like very funny, like very innocent way, a simple, there's a simplicity where I come from. It's so beautiful. I appreciate it more now than ever when I've seen more than 30 countries in the world. And I'm like, damn, what's there? It's so pure. And it really, it's not oversaturated by all this, you know, other external voices, opinions, or whatever, wherever the world is going. And so, yeah. And then I remember my father's on the scooter, and I'm like, no, I have to like find these people. So like we set off, and I called them that, oh, we're going to meet you like next to this pharmacy. And so I met them, brought them back to my home. Then we went to like, you know, see locations all around. And then, we shot for 2 days. And it was so funny situation because this is my work as well, right? I'm not just having like fun and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I had my uncles and aunties peeping from their rooftops. Mm-hmm. Like, what is going on here? Mm-hmm. Trying to get into our homes.
Like, they wanted to be in the story.
They have no clue it's a story. That's the funny part, right? They have no idea what I'm doing. Mm. They don't know like Chanel Parada. They have no... Yeah, it's blissful out there. It's peaceful. Mm. And you know, we shot for 2 days. All of these production people came to our home. My mom's like making chais after chai, like a lot of tea, Indian tea. It's bang on. It's really good. And but something that really struck me to this is that after I finished 2 days of shooting. And then, of course, my uncles and aunties were finally allowed to come back to our home. And I think the first thing I remember hearing is that, oh my God, your work is really hard. It's not easy. Mm-hmm. You've been working so hard from morning to evening for the past 2 days. And we've been watching. We've been peeping. We were there. You didn't see us. We were there. And so I think it's the first time my folks kind of gather understanding of that my job is, I'm not sipping teas.
Yeah.
People are not handing me, you know, cups with straws and, you know, that's how I wake up. No, it's a real job. It's a real struggle, like mentally, physically, mm-hmm. spiritually. Both. It challenges mm-hmm. every part of your existence, every inch of your being. And so, mission completed there. And I was really grateful that it's...
They got to see what you
do. Yeah, they got to see what I do. And then we incorporated, let's say, my father's drawing room. We used bed sheets that my mother embroidered. Like we used all these different elements that are true to me and, you know, my existence, my physical existence especially. So it was really nice, shooting that and seeing that. Now it's funny, my father is still waiting for the book. He calls it a book. He said, where's the book? You didn't bring the book where you have your photos. I'm like, I forgot about the book again. I'm going to bring it next time. So, yeah.
Send them copies.
I try to. I did for my first one, I did. It's still a book to them. So he's like, oh, I have that other book. And he's like, where is your name? I'm like, it's the one with the big letters. So it's something we do, let's say, for my, I take a lot of joy in my identity and from my name as well. Like Amrit means immortal and my father named me. And I feel like that's first introduction to who I am. And nowadays I own it more than ever. Mm. So when you see not only just your face, but you see your name, mm-hmm. your name is, it stamps your whole, your ancestor. It's stamping your whole physical identity on this page, and you see it, and it also means so much to other people who look up to fashion and are from my culture, but they never seen these kind of names on magazines.
Yeah,
it's another sort of privilege that I have that I'm really grateful for. And nowadays it's a funny situation that I get DMs from kids who are like in junior like classes from me about like feeling inspired, and also some of them pursuing fashion or art, performance, because before there wasn't anybody doing this.
Yeah, you paved the way.
I don't know. I'm still you're having fun.
Yeah. But
I'm still,
still
I still
inspiring
really,
people is still know. A huge thing, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, because it took a lot mm-hmm. in so many different ways, right? Because even modeling, there's so many ways that you end up here. Mm-hmm. There are girls who take classes. They do trainings, mm-hmm. To be models.
I was in China last month, and they have this, like, they go to the university to be a model for a full year. Like, in sometimes 2 years. Yeah. Something.
Wow.
Crazy. Well,
fashion, I don't know. They
fashion
call it
school.
It's fashion
school. It's like modeling school.
Modeling school, exactly.
Model school. Model academy.
They learn how to walk and stuff. Yeah, it's really something.
No, I ended That's up good. Here knowing nothing, never been shot before. That too, other thing is like when I go sometime and I have friends and now in different parts of India, you know, when I went last time, we had Dior, Christian Dior finally coming to us. And that was such a big honor. And I remember feeling so emotional. I was in the lineup and Peter was next to me. He's the makeup for Dior. And I was like, no, I feel like crying. And I just don't want to ruin your makeup. But I'm just feeling so moved. You know, there's all of these chemical reaction. I was so affected by doing something that I do in a different country. But now
home.
The world has changed to the point that it's coming home. And you're getting to do it here. With the same people that you do in, you know, in Europe or in different places. So it was really, And then we wore flip-flops. We wore the velvet flip-flops. We were really Indian about it. And so it just felt like walking in the street. It was really such magnificent, like so wonderful experience. I still think about it. It just still moves me emotionally because I hadn't imagined. I always saw this coming. But I'm good that it came quicker and it came when I'm still modeling. So that's I get good. To do this too. I'm not just watching it. No, there's so much fun in doing it, right? Mm-hmm. So it was beautiful. And then I was part of this Indian Met Gala. That was another beautiful experience. I had never done events. I stay in my zone. I'm still that mysterious cat. I really still don't go out too much to fashion parties. Mm-hmm. I do my job. I go back, you know. So for the first time, I was allowing myself to embrace this new journey as well, this new experience, and just see, you know, whatever you see. And you get to see all of these Bollywood celebrities and these big actors you grew up watching. It was so surreal to me. Just even, and you're out here dancing with them now. Like you're talking to them, and I think that was the time I kind of realized, damn, I've done something in my life now that because every time I go in India, I still feel like that kid from the village. I feel like I will always be feeling that my whole life, and that's the beauty of my experience, that I'm unable to forget where I come from. It's just so hard for me to remove all of that from, you know, my existence or my way of thinking, my way of being. And, you know, and I keep on delving into the deeper layer of that more and more. The more I'm like growing in Asia as well, I feel like all of that means something stronger to me now. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it was really beautiful. I remember going to Starbucks in India, and this happened just like 2 days after this event. And I'm like, okay, whatever, with my glasses on, you know, just reading my books, and two girls, and I'm like, what in the world? And they came to me and they showed me like my photo from my first day, because I was in every blog ever, because people had never seen me, because I had never worked in India as a model. My whole fashion journey started here. Mm-hmm. And they were like, oh, is this you? And I'm like, no, what do you mean? And so in India, the whole, you know, the spectrum of even entertainment is really grandiose. It's really big. You know, once you are among the stars, you're one,
like the actors and stuff.
Yes. And you know, such a big population is so attached to that. Mm-hmm. That's their way of life. So it was really, I was really taken back by them. Like, damn, I just came here for the first time and you like already recognize me. No, that's not me, by the way. So it's really nice, but I still always feel like that I enjoy my privacy the most, to be among people, especially to pursue art, you know, to pursue the poetic language of life. I always want to be taking my metros. I always want to be you know, walking into crowds and just not have anybody attacking me, not have anybody even recognizing me. I am the first one to say no when people show me, if they see me in public or my billboard, or even family member. No, that's not me. That is not me. Because I feel like for a lot of people that's like that brings so much fun, right? Mm-hmm. It's very stimulating. For me, the kind of stimulation I get from internally is just being among people. And I'm such a people watcher. I love to observe. I love to I'm really deeply, like, I'm really sensitive to life in general. So I just love knowing, seeing, feeling what's going around me. And because even now I've been studying acting, something I've learned that is such level of awareness that you have to walk into, and that's the only way to do it. You know, acting demands such honesty. There's no cheat codes. There's no shortcuts to performing from a profound space that also reaches other people. Mm-hmm. So yeah, and for me, I just get that drug, that stimulation from just being among people in public and just feeling all of these different energies and being moved by it, because it really circles into and transforms into a very great motivation to create as well. You know, it's hard to create stories that you've resisted. You know, it's hard to open up if you are, it's hard to, let's say, create something that can reach other people if you're cocooning yourself, if you're shielding yourself. How do you think that you can create something that will impact other people when you are closed off as well? So for me, I just love this experience of life so much, and just being out. And with modeling, it's such a privilege to travel to different places. You meet different cultures. You pick up different, you know, different habits as well. So yeah, it's beautiful. I'm at a stage in my life where I feel like everything is making sense in such a nice way that that I'm really, really grateful, because you know, I'm learning and moving on. I want to create more. I want to have that agency, because in modeling, sometimes you're limited to other people's ideas, right? You have a mood board. You have products to sell.
Of course.
Nowadays, we have movement directors.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You even know how to move. Like, why are they doing the Chinese model school? We have people on the set now to do everything for you, right? So, and then performance, acting, art, and directing. I want to make movies. I wrote like 2 micro, like short movies recently that I really am wanting to shoot soon. So, and I feel like for me, just to kind of see the kind of person I am, to understand myself, that I'm just way too expressive. Mm-hmm. And it's hard for me to, you know, sort of accept a final line. I'm way too curious about life, mm-hmm. and in life and creativity and creating, that modeling has now allowed me to see myself in films and, you know, directing, telling tales, telling stories, and also those stories that are happening all around. When I go to these different countries, mm-hmm. you know, when I, or where I grew up as well, you know, this, we still don't know. People still don't know, you know, much about my community. People still do not know, like, Sikhism is a religion. So it's just more about that. How do I create something that really opens up a world I believe in,
mm-hmm.
and I continue to believe in? Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
This has probably been one of the most, like, wise episodes that we've ever
shot. I'm no old lady.
No, but you don't, even so, you're very, very wise.
I don't know. I get shy about these things. I don't know.
Okay, I won't embarrass you then.
Yeah, like hiding my face.
I think we're going to wrap it up soon, but do you have anything else that you want to talk about? Or do you think we mentioned everything?
I think for me, if I keep on talking, it's hard for me to stop. I will chain you here until your next lifetime and beyond.
No, but it was so interesting to know about your journey and everything that you have in mind for the future.
Yes. And I think for me, if there's anything I just want to add is just for, it comes back to, let's say, modeling as well. You know, I just strongly believe that my fellow models and the ones who are just starting that, start from a foundation where you have other things, other worlds outside of fashion for yourself.
Yeah.
Because, but you know,
I feel like that works for everything though. Like no matter what you want to do in life, it's good to have balance, you know?
Yes.
Like not close yourself off and, you know, like forget about friends, family, workouts, whatever.
Yeah. You know, everything. Then sort of direct your attention to yourself to understand your bigger purpose as well. Because life is a very unique experience. You know, we only have one lifetime. So if you're going to really, really strongly, negatively fuck up and you're going to beat yourself, you're going to be really hard on yourself because you're not booking jobs or you're not doing the shows or why this, why that, what's happening, or you're small, you're big, this, that, all of those things. Know that the only thing that's really constant in life is change. Things gonna change. They change. Always. They will change. I started doing this job when it was ready and changing to have space for people like me. And I really appreciate it, but I do feel like there's a long way to go. But I just want girls and even boys, you know, male models. That's another struggle that barely anyone talks about. I have a lot of male model friends and, you know, they go through different challenges on their own. And a lot of the time they barely have any voice, you know. I was just asking to my friend, I'm like, hey, we go to sets. They call us babe. What do they call you guys? Like, I want to know, do they call you buddy and dude or mate? Like, what is it?
So that's a funny question.
Right? Because it's like, we always like babe, darling, you know.
Yeah,
we
have think they probably call them babe as well.
They're very standard, you know, dictionary of fashion encyclopedia. So I think that is the thing. Change is really constant, and if you keep on believing and doing what you believe in, things are bound to move, things are bound to shift. If I can come here growing up in the middle of nowhere and now can also see myself going and moving and flowing on my own speed, I like to take my time. I'm not in any rush. So, you know, doing movies and making my movies and, you know, sharing the stories that I believe in, that I do want people to see and hear and feel motivated and feel moved. So that all comes with understanding that things can change at any time. So just keep on believing, guard yourself, but not create walls, create bridges. So guard yourself with healthy things, things that empower you, things that add value in you, and take time to know yourself. Don't just know yourself by looking at your photo in a campaign or not booking a job. You know, don't judge yourself by that. I feel like judgment is a kind of sentiment that comes from lack of self-understanding. So don't do that to yourself. Be kind to yourself. That's it.
You see some more wisdom.
That was thank you so very much. Nice way to end the episode. Thanks a lot, Amrit.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.